Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're moving towards the conclusion of a year, and I always begin to think in terms of revival, just a tremendous move of God's Spirit. And I'm convinced we don't need anything new in the sense of something novel. If you want to talk about new in the sense of something fresh, I'm with you. But what we need is what's in the book. We need that experience right there. Amen. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah. I think the same thing is true, thank you, Michael, in the church as it is with politics. In politics, some see the answer as being progressive, move on to something new. Others see the solution as restoration, getting back to what we had. And I believe in the church, the answer is not being progressive, moving to something beyond the book, but I believe the answer is restoration, getting back to what is in the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Acts chapter 2. We began this just a few Sunday nights back. And I told you then, I don't know if I'm opening a series, but if I were, I would entitle this, "What is the Holy Ghost doing nowadays?" And the answer to that, He's doing or wants to do what He's always done. Amen. Verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we ever men in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya and of Cyrene and of strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this?" Or literally, what's this going to lead to? "And others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them." I want to preach tonight on movements in all directions. Movement in all directions. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, challenge your church. I believe you're preparing us for what you want to do in the end times. I pray, Lord, that we would feel the stirrings of the Holy Spirit, God, to exactly what you want to do in our hearts and through us and through the church. Minister to everyone that's here, whatever, however unique their need might be, that you would minister to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I can't remember who it was, where it was. It was somewhere last week, one of our gatherings. And someone was speaking to me, and they said, "Pastor, I've been hearing about this neo-Pentecostal stuff. I know that's not us, but what is that?" And I could spend maybe 30 minutes on that, but I'm only going to spend about 30 seconds. But what I told them, neo-Pentecostal is largely this. Like us, and I'll refer to us as classical Pentecostal, like us, they believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They believe in the moving of the Spirit. They believe in a demonstration of the Spirit, expressive worship, conviction, anointing. But they believe you can have all of those things and bypass and without having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost isn't an issue. You just go ahead and be Pentecostal without first being baptized in the Holy Ghost. You go ahead and have the gifts of the Spirit without having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You go ahead and have an anointing without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know, if I read Scripture correctly, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a prerequisite to all of those other things. Where did all those other things, when did they begin? How did they begin? They all began when folks got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Peter never stood up and preached with an anointing till after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was never a gift of the Spirit in operation except through Christ until there was a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm here to say tonight what we need so we can have everything else that we desperately need in our church, to reach our world, to minister to the needs of those in the church. I believe we need a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many still believes an experience called the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. I'm not going to be theological tonight. I know I can get bogged down in that sometimes. I just want to share a simple thought. When I read this story about the initial giving of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I see some movement going on. First of all, this is the movement I see. I see prayers that went up. The prayers went up. I go back to chapter 1. It says that when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. They went up there, and the Bible says these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Amen. This thing all happened because prayers were going up to God. Hallelujah. How many of those things happen when prayers begin to go up? I'm telling you, the first movement that we need is for prayers to go up. This week, I don't know how we got on it. We was in the car, and Andrew asked me, I guess he heard something about it in school. He said, "Dad, is it true that all water ends back up in the ocean?" And I said, "Yes, that's true." And I began to talk about evaporation. And I think of that again tonight. You've seen the steam rising off a river, a pool, a street, a wet street. You see the water evaporating, the sun pulling the water up. And that water goes up into the air. You can see it rising. And one thing you can know is when water goes up, that forms the clouds. When water goes up, something's going to be coming back down, isn't it? Rain. Amen. When water goes up, something is going to be coming back down. I know that's oversimplistic, but I believe if the Scripture teaches anything, it teaches this. When God's people begin to pray and prayers begin to go up, it's not going to be long till something's going to begin to come down. Hallelujah. Oh, it doesn't matter if it's an individual or a church. When prayers begin to rise into the presence of God, it won't be long until there's a response. And something's going to begin to come down upon God's people. Hallelujah. The Spirit wouldn't have come down had the prayers not gone up. Amen. I have to say to myself, if nothing's coming down, if nothing is coming from heaven to me, maybe it's because my prayers aren't going up. Hallelujah. We used to sing, going up, up, up. The praises of the saints are going up. How many remembers that? Going up, up, up. The praises of the saints are going. And then we'd change and say, coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming. I believe it still works that way. When the prayers and the praises of the saints begin to go up, it won't be long till the glory of God will be. Oh, how many needs the glory of God to come down in your life? Hallelujah. Maybe in encouragement or in healing or in strength for your weakness. Send the prayers up. Hallelujah. The second movement I see is the Spirit came down. The Spirit came down. You know, sometimes folks get a hold of a point of theology and they run it in the ground trying to be unique. I've heard folks say this, something like this. I was in church and I heard the preacher say, "Let's pray. The Holy Ghost will come down tonight." Let's pray God will send the Holy Ghost down tonight. And then the individual saying that will say this: don't folks know he's already sent the Holy Ghost? 2,000 years ago, there in Acts chapter 2, we read where he's already sent the Holy Ghost. And then they begin to make the point, we don't need to ask God to send down the Holy Ghost because he's already sent him. I know they're theologically correct, but I don't like the implications they're trying to leave. I know God has already sent the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago, but what he has done, he has sent the Holy Spirit historically. He's already sent the Holy Spirit generally to the whole church at large. He's already sent the Holy Spirit. But when we pray, God, pour out your Spirit, send down the Holy Ghost, we know he's already sent the Spirit historically and generally to the church. But what we're praying is, oh God, what you did historically, do it afresh. Do it afresh. We know you poured the Spirit out historically, but we're concerned that you pour the Spirit out right here, right now, tonight. I know you've given the Holy Spirit to the church at large, but what we're interested in is that you give the Holy Spirit afresh to Union Road. I know the Holy Ghost came 2,000 years ago, but I need a fresh visitation for myself tonight. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit came down. Let's look what it says. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Pentecost was a Jewish feast that literally means 50. It happened 50 days after the Passover. What was it all about? Well, the first day of the feast, they waved a collection, a sheaf of grain to announce the harvest had come. And the last day, the 50th day, they took two loaves made from the harvest and wave them as an offering to God to thank God for the harvest. God does all things according to his plan. Amen. The disciples, this 120, they tarried 10 days. Jesus was crucified. The Bible says for 40 days he showed himself and gave proof to his followers that he had risen from the dead. And then he sent them to Jerusalem when he ascended to the Father. And for 10 days they tarried. God had it all worked out. 40 plus 10 is 50. The 50th day when the Holy Ghost was given was the last day of Pentecost, when the offering was waved to say and to thank God for a harvest. Why did God send the Holy Spirit on Pentecost? He sent it on that celebration because the harvest was about to begin and God was about to give a harvest of souls. Hallelujah. It's rooted in history. God sends the Holy Spirit to prepare the church to reap a harvest. Oh, we want a revival, just not so we can feel better and be more encouraged. We want an outpouring of the Spirit, because with the outpouring of the Spirit, there is a harvest of the lost. Hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. I still believe wonderful things happen when the church gets together with a singular mind. Hallelujah. Did not Jesus say, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst? One man said the interpretation of that is, if two or three of you could ever get together about anything, I'd show up to see it for myself. That's not really what he meant. But they had a, it didn't just mean there was no disharmony. It meant they were gathered for the same purpose, to receive the promise of the Father. They were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound. Get this, here it is. The Spirit came down. There came a sound from heaven. There was a movement from heaven down upon them. There came a sound from heaven. Oh, how many knows what we need comes from heaven? I said, what I need, what you need, what the church needs, it comes from one direction. It comes from heaven. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing and a mighty wind. Why wind? Read the Bible. When God got ready to speak, when God got ready to do something great, often there was a wind. There was a wind. But beyond that, the word for wind, in the original, the one word, word, that singular word that's translated wind here, it means breath, it means wind, and it means spirit. All three in one. Pneuma, breath. Pneuma, spirit. Pneuma, wind. Jesus said, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen. There was a sound of the mighty rushing wind. Why? Because the breath of God, God breathed from heaven, and the breath of God filled those that were on earth waiting on him, filled them with a life like they never had. How many knows there's life in the breath of God? He's told us that from the beginning when he created man out of clay and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'm telling you, he's still breathing on folks. And the sound of the rushing wind was when God breathed the life of his Spirit into the church. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got to move on, but I like it when we stand and worship. That's great. But we don't have to be standing. Holy Ghost can hit you right there while you're seated. Amen. Let's go on next verse. Amen. And there appeared in clothing tongues like as fire, and set upon each of them. When I read this in the original, the picture you get is a huge ball of fire came down from heaven. And when it got above them, Brother Josh, it split into individual flames, distributed into individual flame. And that big ball of fire split up, and a flame came over each one of those 120s. Oh, it came from heaven. How many knows what we need comes from heaven? Breathe on me, Holy Ghost power. Breathe on. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm, oh, Holy Ghost shower. Fall on me. Holy Ghost fire. Burn in me. Fire came upon each of them. Why fire? Read it in the book. We're going to be getting into a little bit of it on Wednesday night. But read it in the book. When they set up that tent, amen, there in the desert, and they got it completed. Fire came from heaven. It was God's way of saying, I'm going to dwell in that tent. Brother Aaron, they built the temple. When they got it finished, Solomon's temple, fire fell from heaven. It was God's way of saying, I'm going to dwell in that temple. Now he doesn't have a tent. He doesn't have a temple. He's got a collection of believers, living bodies, living people that are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when the fire fell, it was God's way of saying, I who dwelt in the tent, I who dwelt in Solomon's temple, now I'm going to dwell in a group of people called the church. Hallelujah. Fire came from heaven. Amen. Just for God to say to us, he dwells in our midst. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship him across the building. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. It came from heaven. It came. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, not a one of them left out. I said, not a, where'd it come from? It came from heaven. I want us to believe tonight that what we really need, we'll never find somewhere from around us. What we really need, we're going to find looking this direction. What you really need tonight cannot be found around. What you really need tonight, it comes from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what you have need of in this place, but I believe you need to look up. If you're looking for rain, there's only one direction to look, and that's to the sky. If you're looking for help, if you're looking for strength, if you're looking for healing, if you're looking for power in your life, there's only one direction to look, and that's upward. Hallelujah. It filled them. Great is the mystery of godliness. Christ in you, and now the Holy Spirit in you. What a great thing. What a mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. They are all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a whole lot in Pentecost today, and again, I promise you I wouldn't get theological on you, but there's a lot in Pentecost today that says when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you may speak in tongues, but you may sing, or you may give a prophecy, or you may go in a trance. But I want you to tell you tonight, there was no variance. The Bible said 120 were filled, and every one of those 120 spake in tongues. Amen. I'm not going to get into a dissertation about tongues tonight, but I believe it is a symbol of surrender. Amen. The most difficult member to control is the tongue, James said. Amen. I told you I wouldn't get into that, so relax. But the way I said it, said they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What that says to me, I'll make it simple. They provided the tongue, the muscle, the tongue, and the Spirit provided the words. In other words, the words didn't come from their head. The utterance didn't come from... All they did was to provide the tongue, and the Spirit provided the words. Oh, what would happen if we just provide God this vessel? If we just provide... Oh, Sister Brockett said they began. I've never seen this before, but it got a hold of me this afternoon. They began to speak in tongues. You know what that says to me? It says it wasn't just something that happened and it ended there. They began to speak in tongues on that day, and they spake in tongues on the next day, and they spake in tongues the next time they gathered. It means more than that. They began to speak in tongues, but it just wasn't they that spoke in tongues. They were just the first ones. They were just the beginning. Other folks, like at Cornelius' household, they spake in tongues too. They began. Nowhere do you read where it ended. That means right now, tonight, they that began to speak, folks are still speaking in tongues. I'm not caught up in tongues, but I am caught up in the baptism, the power, the vitality of the Holy Spirit that results in the speak. Oh, it's a surrender of heart that caused them to speak in other tongues. Oh, the Spirit came down. And then the crowd came to, or the crowd came together. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. There's some debate. Some say that they were still in the upper room. We do know that the early church went daily to the temple to pray, and there were porches on that temple. And so some believe they were on the porch of the temple and not in the upper room where they ate their meals and they slept. However that is, whatever was going on, the speaking in tongues, the glorifying of God, I mean, there was something going on that caused the bystanders, the people in the streets of Jerusalem, it caused some word to get out throughout that city that something was going on where the 120 were gathered. When the Holy Ghost came down, it caused something to happen that caused the apathetic, the indifferent, or maybe the seeker that didn't know where to seek. It caused them to come running to the church. I know folks try everything to get people to come to church. We get bigger and bigger events, do all kinds of things, but I am still convinced the thing that's going to cause people to come is when the Holy Ghost falls with power upon God's people. I believe every time the Holy Spirit genuinely falls in the church, it's going to attract folks from the outside. How many believe that tonight? Oh, I'm for doing whatever we can do, Brother Dale. But I'm telling you, the way to get folks to come is for something to be going on because the Holy Ghost has fallen. They were all speak with other tongues, and the word got out, and the crowd began together. They came from every direction. They came to see what was happening. I believe it'll still work that way. Many of you will remember, I can't remember how many years ago it's been now, about 12 years or more, about 13 years. I'm starting to put things together. Anthony Lester, Brother Anthony Lester was in revival here. We went almost 3 weeks. How many remembers that revival? Do you remember how the church filled up? I mean, folks, on a weeknight of revival, the church was full. We had them come reeking of marijuana smoke. Anyone remember that? We had him coming drunk. Amen. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Ghost was falling on God's people. And when the Spirit comes down, there's folks that are going to come in. Hallelujah. Had to have a baptism service in the middle of revival. So many folks got saved. They gathered. We're not preaching on that part tonight. But they got saved for the day was over. Hallelujah. The prayers went up. The Spirit came down. The crowd came together, and last of all, the church came out. Hallelujah. That crowd gathered there, heard every man speaking in their own tongues. I don't want to offend anyone, so I'll use Oki. That's just me and Zachary here. Where you at, Zach? Wave at me. Maybe you had to go home. Amen. I guess, amen, he had to go home. We're the only two Okies I know of since Rebecca's gone. But these were Galileans. And the thing the people were marveling at is they saw these Galileans. They were hill folks. They were backwoods folks. And they were speaking perfect Hebrew. They were speaking languages from countries they could have never been to. And it confounded that crowd. That's like hearing an Okie speak perfect English. Amen. That's what they were saying. These are Galileans. How can they do that? And they came to the conclusion. They said, they were amazed. They said, what meaneth this? And some were mocking. That means they act like they were drinking. They said, well, we'll tell you what we're having. That's what happened. They're crazy because they've been tipping the bottle. These are drunk with new wine. Amen. Amen. You see, some folks get this confused. I know we're demonstrative in our worship, and I have nothing against that. When you feel the Spirit of God, there ought to be a reaction. But I don't believe it was because these people were staggering. I don't believe it was because they were in some kind of frenzy. Even the reason they thought they were drunk is because they heard them speak in their native languages. And they had no other explanation. He meant so they just said, well, they are drunk. That's the only thing. But you know, the point we cannot miss was that they realized the reason they said they were drunk. They realized they were under the influence of something other than their own powers and abilities. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I believe we need to get drunk with the Holy Spirit. By that I mean under the influence of his power, his ability. And they heard these praising God for his wonderful works as they spoke in these other tongues. It wasn't nothing about self. It wasn't nothing about human talent. It was about the wonderful works of God. I'm going to go on, but I want to note two things. You know, folks wax really brilliant. And there's some folks that want to say that this was just for the apostles in the apostles' day. And so they say that it was just the apostles that spoke in another language. Well, first of all, the Bible says there was 120 and they were all filled and they were all speaking in other tongues. Didn't it say that? But let's just take what they said. They said it was only the 12 apostles that were speaking in other tongues. They may be good at theology, but they're not very good at math. Because when you read all the different languages that were spoken in, there were far more than just 12 different languages that were spoken in. So there was more than 12 that were speaking in other tongues. Oh, hallelujah. It's real. It's real. Even the crowd came together and the church came out. How many knows that the church had been lying low? Hadn't they? They was afraid the same thing that happened to them that happened to Jesus. I mean, before that he had made himself known to them, they were in a room with the door locked. Even they'd been lying low for days. Amen. But suddenly, whether it was that porch, the inner sanctuary of the porch, or whether it was up the upper room, when the crowd gathered on the circumference, the church came out to meet them. And Peter walked out with the other 11, and he stood there and he began to preach the gospel. I'm telling you, when the Spirit comes down, not only will folks come to the church, but the church will go out to folks. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus wanted. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. It has always been from Bible Bible times and throughout history, when there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, suddenly the church was concerned about reaching out to the lost. Or let's put it this way, when there's an outpour of the Spirit, there will be an outreach of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll have workers to fill the bus up on every Sunday morning. There'll be a going out to neighbors and to friends and to co-workers. Amen. It's always been that way. When folks get filled with the Holy Spirit, they burn with the message. Jesus has come to save you. He's coming again. He'll turn your life around. He'll forgive your sins. They go together. The outpour of the Spirit and the outreach of the church. Oh, don't you want to see it? Hallelujah. Would you come, music tonight? The movements that we see. Prayers go up. The Spirit comes down. The crowd comes together. And the church goes out. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to end just this way tonight. Amen. Do you need something from above? Hallelujah. Amen. You don't need to lift your hand, but how many need something from above? What we need doesn't come from around us. What we need comes from above. I know there's been street preachers that have used it to get attention. They've went and stood on a street corner and just started staring up at the sky. How many's heard that? Start staring, and pretty soon there'll be a whole crowd just staring up. I want to tell you, I believe if just a few will truly begin to set their affection on things above, it won't be long. It'll encourage other folks, and they'll be looking up for the outpour of the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight and you need something from above, I just want to encourage you to make your prayers go up to God and believe He's going to send the answer. I believe God's going to do something in the church in these last days. Isn't He moving? Isn't He working? Folks are being saved. I'm not denigrating anything that's happened. I'm not demeaning or downplaying. I'm just saying God wants to do an overwhelming thing. I said overwhelming. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. 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 I want you to come right now if you need something from above. Would you just come and stand right now? You desperately need something from above. You've looked in this direction and that, but you're going to look heavenward tonight for what you need. Amen. Is there anyone that needs something from above tonight? Would you begin to come and stand and lift your hands and say, oh God, I'm going to look up. I'm going to look up. I'm going to look up. I need something from above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you join me tonight? Would you come and stand and lift your hearts and hands and say, my soul so desperately needs something from above. Would you send your prayers heavenward? Would you send your praises heavenward? I need something from above. My soul is thirsty. I'm longing for a fresh infilling. I'm longing for a let's just as a church. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just as a church lift our hearts and hands. Oh, and call out to Him. I need something from above. Hallelujah. Everybody praying. Amen. If you're not praying for yourself, pray for your neighbor. But everybody praying. Everybody reaching up. Hallelujah. I need something from above. What I need is not in the world around me. What I need is not in the resources around me. What I need is from above.
I can feel His mighty power.
Send the prayers up. Send the prayers up. Hallelujah.
I can feel the change within, and I know that I will never be the same.
He'll send it down. Reach up, reach up.
You can find
I need something from
what you need at the altar.
Oh, let Him fall on you.